ASU football is headed to the Las Vegas Bowl to face Wisconsin. A few Sun Devils receive all Pac-12 honors, and the transfer portal is already heating up. We're breaking it all down on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast. Thank you for making this your first listen of the day. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete. And joining me today is Richie Bradshaw from Locked On Sun Devils to give us everything we need to hear about the ASU Sun Devils. Even though football season is essentially over for the Pac-12, the Sun Devils are one of the few teams that are still going. There's a bowl game in the future for them, and that is the Las Vegas Bowl against Wisconsin. So not too far from Arizona, Richie. It's not going to be a far travel at all. Will you be making that trip?
I will. I actually will be making that trip and potentially might be able to sneak in with the media, but that is yet to be seen. But I will be making my way out to Las Vegas for that game.
Okay, so no matter what, Richie will be on. We might have to have you take over the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter. I know you'll be tweeting from Locked On Sun Devils, but it might be fun to have you do a duel there. If Connor's going with you, then one of you could do one, and then the other can do the other. But we'll talk about that later.
There you go.
Okay, so you'll be facing Wisconsin. First time since 2013, and I hear the 2013 game was pretty controversial. I don't know much about that history, but I would love to hear about it.
I was actually at that game.
Of course you were.
I remember vividly the controversy happened right in front of me because I was in the end zone. So basically what happened is this has been a really back and forth game. And Wisconsin was driving down the field with the intent to kick a game-winning field goal that would have won them the game. It was earlier in the season, and it was like a staple victory for either side of the programs. Well, as they're going down the field, their quarterback, instead of spiking the ball, kind of like gets the ball from under center, walks over a little. I want to say it had gone to the left because they wanted to line it up center so it would have been a straight kick, and he just put the ball on the ground. Well, ASU jumps on top of it, and the refs blow the play and give the ball to Arizona State, saying that the quarterback had essentially like fumbled the ball because he didn't spike it. He had literally just placed it on the ground. So depending on who you ask, he gave that ball up.
Okay. So I can see the controversy side is more so for Wisconsin to get some redemption than it is.
Yes.
ASU.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It worked out for our favor because that – it is essentially an end of the game. So it went to like 1 second, and then they gave us the ball, and there was a lot of confusion. It was like dead silent on the field for a little while. And then they gave us the ball and we won the game.
So I'm sure we won't be seeing much of that happen this time around. I'm sure they'll be very diligent to make sure it doesn't happen. So with this matchup coming up, you know, leading up into this final game, there's been some up and downs with Jaden Daniels. There's been some up and downs with the offense. We haven't seen as much of the run game as we're used to seeing. Rashad White is a major player that I think in this last two games haven't been as present as usual. So going into this matchup, are you confident in ASU facing Wisconsin, or are you a little worried?
I am a little worried.
Okay.
And I think Wisconsin's a very good football team, and I think I see a lot of similarities between our two schools. Like, both of these teams have really good run games that have mediocre get the job done passing attacks with defenses that can really do a good job stuffing the box. And then I look at what Wisconsin still has compared to what ASU is losing.
Okay.
And that's where I get nervous, because we're going to be without Rashad White because he's preparing for the draft. And we're going to be without DeMonte Treanum because he is entering the transfer portal. So we have Jaden Daniels and Daniel Legata and a couple other bodies after them who really didn't get any significant kind of playing time at all this year.
Yeah.
The one bright side with this is this is our chance to really see how Nagata will take over the backfield and if he can be the de facto number one guy, or if we're going to need to worry about this during the off season and start figuring out backup plans and how to split carries better. The good news is Nagata looks really, really good.
Well, that's good.
Yes. I'm excited for a larger role for him. I just didn't think it was coming this soon.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about, when I say we, Brian Brown and I talked a little bit about, you know, players leaving early to prepare for the draft and opting out of their bowl games and the feeling of, is it selfish or is it something that, you know, is necessary for some to preserve themselves for their next step? How do you feel about that? Coming from an unbiased side of a, like, try to remove yourself from the fan point and be more of a, you know, like, analyst side.
Oh, I can easily remove myself from like a fan perspective because it's definitely the right thing for them to do for their future. It's all about what's best for them. And if they feel that this bowl game is what's best for them to continue improving their stock, then they should play in it. If they don't want to risk injury, like years ago, Jalen Smith with Notre Dame, where he had that devastating knee injury that took him from being like a top five pick to outside the first round. And he did end up getting money, but it was just one of those things where like it could have been a career ending injury in a game that meant nothing. So for me, I'm all about pro player. So you're not going to play the bowl game. Doesn't hurt my feelings.
Right.
For what it's worth, where we'll talk about in a little bit, the all Pac-12 team, Rashad White had tweeted out noted when he saw that he was only on the second team.
Yeah.
Which I told Connor last night, I was like, maybe you should play in the game and just remind everyone why you should be.
I mean, that's a fair assessment and something I definitely thought about. But we'll dive into that coming up next because I do want to talk about the people that were honored in the Pac-12 and then who were snubbed from the ASU Sun Devils. For all of you that are heavy college football fanatics, Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy, and you should definitely know about them because they're making daily fantasy easy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and they offer all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players that you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code Locked On. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. You can take the over on LeBron, combine it with the under on Mahomes, all in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and use the promo code Locked On. Make sure you head to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Shout out to you listeners for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Okay, so we were just talking about Rashad White, and he is definitely one of the main names I want to discuss when we're talking about these Pac-12 honors. A few players on the offensive side and a few players on the defensive side were able to come out on top, you know, getting those first team, I guess, honors, mentions, however you want to say it. But Rashad White made second team, and if anybody watched the Pac-12, they would know he has been one of the top names that has been discussed all season long. And so to see all that he accomplished this season, for him to fall short and just make second team, I kind of wish I understood the selection committee, whoever is voting. I think it's coaches that vote, right? Am I not mistaken?
Oh, that I couldn't tell you. All I know is I want a conversation with them.
I get that. I do wonder like what came into factoring like why he wouldn't make first team.
I couldn't even tell you because he did literally everything. He was a good runner with good vision, created before the line of scrimmage. He would set up his blocks, would make stuff happen after contact, caught the ball, scored touchdowns, was efficient with everything he had. close to 6 yards a carry and almost 10 yards a catch too. I mean, and 1,000 rushing yards, 15 total touchdowns. I just, to me, I'm dumbfounded with how he was not able to get a first team all Pac-12 selection and it, at a minimum first team, let alone it should have been like unanimous, but the unanimous part's probably a little biased. There are a lot of very good running backs in the Pac-12 this year, and I'm not trying to slide any of them. Like BJ Baylor was a stud. He deserved to be on the first team, but if you were going to have two guys, Rashad White should have easily been the second. And frustrating, Cindy, just frustrating.
Very frustrating, but I also think it's one of those things that's a part of the game, right? Like your game can speak for itself and you can still fall short because it's someone else making a decision. And I do think in sports, and I'm not calling the selection committee, judges, or whatever, haters, but you do encounter those who don't appreciate what you may bring to the game, right? It sucks when it's like very apparent like this. Like I said, Rashad White was a name that was heavily discussed, especially when it comes to running backs this season, among some of the best in the Pac-12, if not one of the best. ASU's run game was definitely one of the top in, you know, the conference, along with Oregon State, I'm sure, at the beginning of the season. But it's one of those things, like, you take it for what it is, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just an honor. It's just a award. It's just another thing to list under that something you accomplished. But your stats are going to speak for themselves. He's going to prepare for the draft. And I don't think having that honor, it was going to make a difference in his draft stock, because at the end of the day, people aren't looking at all the awards you won. They're looking at what you've actually produced on the field. It just sucks because you do want to be acknowledged for the hard work that you put out there.
Yeah, I mean, bright side is everybody who watched Pac-12 football this year knows that Rashad White was dynamic, and everyone who watched Arizona State knows that he was the best player on the field for the Sun Devils, right? And he definitely gets the credit from the fans who know who he is.
Yeah.
We just wish that, because the rest of the country who doesn't stay up to watch these games will look at the all Pac-12 team and they'll be like, oh, those must have been the best players.
Right.
They won't see Rashad White on first team and they won't realize how good he is.
Yeah.
So that's where I get sour about it, is because we're the conference of champions, but no one wants to watch our games.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's like the Christian McCaffrey thing like years ago, where he had like 3,500, 3,600 all purpose yards and didn't win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
No one was staying up to watch Stanford, but everyone was watching Derrick Henry.
Right.
So it's just one of those things where I wish that Rashad would have gotten more attention so that people recognized him. I'm mad for him.
Yeah, and that is the struggle of playing in the Pac-12, is something that people are trying to fight against, but it is what it is type of thing. You know, the conference is what it is, and you can't really get around it too much. But really quick, I did want to mention the Arizona State players that did make the Pac-12 all-conference team. I want to say on the defensive side, okay, I'm still confused because I'm reading this article and trying to understand. So junior defensive end Tyler Johnson was the lone Sun Devil named to the all Pac-12 first team.
Correct.
And so then the senior cornerbacks that got honorable mentions were Chase Lucas, Jack Jones, sophomore left guard Ladarius Henderson, senior safety DeAndre Pierce, sophomore wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, senior tight end Curtis Hodges, and junior linebacker Merlin Robertson. So they all received honorable mentions. And then the second team was filled with junior running back Rashad White, senior left tackle Kellen Deesh, sophomore center Donovan West, junior linebacker Darian Butler, and senior defensive tackle DJ Davidson. So only having one player on that first team does kind of suck when you realize how great of a season ASU had. They had their ups and downs for sure, but definitely think we should have seen more on the first team.
Yeah, so I'm very happy for Tyler Johnson. I was telling Connor last night on Locked on Sun Devils, is he just wasn't the guy. Like, if you told me, like, hey, ASU got one person on first team this year, I would have been like, oh, it was Rashad White.
Right.
Oh, then it was Darian Butler. No, it wasn't him either.
Yeah.
Was it Jack Jones? No, Jack Jones didn't even make it. Who was it? It was Tyler Johnson. Okay, well, I'm happy for Tyler, and Tyler's a stud. Like, he did get like a Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week at one right. time during the year, and like he's been a stalwart for them and everything. But
yeah,
Darian Butler should have been one of the linebackers as well. To me, after Devin Lloyd, who is going to be a first-round pick in this upcoming draft for Utah, Darian Butler was one of the next best linebackers in the Pac-12. I thought he should have been first team, and I thought Rashad White should have been first team. Those were my two. I think Jack Jones should have been named to second team at a minimum, especially because you get four starters for first team and four for second team. So what you're telling me is he's not one of the eight best defensive backs in the Pac-12, and I just don't see that.
Yeah, very unfortunate. But again, he's looking forward to next steps, and that is the NFL draft. And we'll talk in the offseason about, you know, ASU Sun Devil players' draft stock. We know Chase Lucas will be looking on that same path. So we'll have a lot to talk about for sure in the offseason. Coming up next, though, we're going to discuss this transfer portal. It's getting a little hot over there in Tempe. So we'll discuss that coming up next. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar. That's Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. There's so many flavors to choose from, you'll have a hard time making a decision. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie? Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Like, there's so many flavors to choose from, especially with the holidays. So you might as well go ahead and stock up on Built Bars. Could even toss them in a few stocking stuffers. Why not? But go ahead and head to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. I'm sorry, that's Built.com and 15% off your order with LOCKED15 as the promo code. Okay, Richie. When it comes to what ASU has to look forward to, it's definitely the off season where you see things shake up. The transfer portal, the recruiting process, and the transfer portal has already started to shake some things up. You have some players entering the transfer portal, and then you have some coming through to ASU as their choice to transfer to. So let's talk about the ones that are transferring out of ASU first. I saw that freshman Tommy Hill has decided to enter the transfer portal. And then you also mentioned Chip Trainum is entering, and that's a huge blow considering how important he was to that run game this season.
Yeah, the loss of Chip is going to be heavily felt. And he was a guy who I was thinking that after Rashad had left this year because he was a graduate senior, he had to go regardless. Chip was going to come onto the scene and be the go-to guy and the face of the run game. And there must have been something sour in his mouth about his role this year. And to an extent, I don't blame him because he did have some fumbling issues. And because of that, Herm put him in the doghouse. And it was hard for him to get touches after that. And there were games where he'd be on the field maybe five times. So
yeah,
it definitely led to the emergence of Rashad White down the stretch to where he became more proactive in the stat department than people had realized.
Yeah. But
that was because Chip was receiving less carries and less touches. And he'd missed time earlier in the season too with some injuries. So I think Chip was just looking for a brand new start and a fresh slate with some new team. And power to him. I hope that wherever he goes gives him that opportunity. I am very sad to see him go. Tommy Hill is good depth, and he's somebody that we're also going to miss because of how much we're losing in the secondary this year. That's also a really tough blow.
Right. Speaking of that secondary, though, you are gaining, I want to say, a safety. It's so many to choose from. I'm trying to, like, catch up with the articles, and I see so much. But you have a slew of players coming through in the transfer portal. Is there anyone that excites you with all the names that have already been added?
Probably that safety we were talking about. It's Derek Smith. I had
Illinois. Okay.
I would be happiest about him because of how much we're losing on the defense and the secondary, especially. You're losing DeAndre Pierce, Chase Lucas, and Jack Jones, who right. are all immensely important pieces of what you were trying to put together last year. So Derek Smith is bringing in a little bit of experience that some of your other recruits that are coming in aren't going to have because he's actually been on the field to play a little bit. So I like that he's coming through for us to maybe make this transition a little bit easier. It's definitely going to be like brand spanking new. And I mean, Lucas was starting from the first year he got there, which is 5 years ago. So
right,
this secondary is going to be almost entirely different, short of like a Jordan Clark. And I'm not sure if Evan Fields is returning next year or not, but short of those two, there is going to be like no continuity on the back end. So having someone like Derek come in and provide any kind of stability is going to be important.
I was going to say a revamp might not be the worst thing ever, but see. Yeah. We'll definitely see how everything, you know, fares out. I don't think this is the end of the transfer portal. So we'll definitely be talking about more of the updates as we get them through this off season and as you guys get ready for that bowl game. Thank you so much for joining me per usual, Richie. We'll talk offline about you taking over the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter though at this game, because might be necessary. You guys can follow along and listen to Locked On Sun Devils on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow them on Twitter at @LO_Sun Devils. And you can follow Richie at Richie Brads with the Z36. Other than that, go ahead and check out one of our other conference shows. Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, and Locked On Big 12 are all available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Same thing with Locked On Pac-12 podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. And as usual, make sure you guys continue to stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.